All right. Still in chapter 4. With governing principles, number 2. Making people wholesome in all aspects of life to manifest Christ's likeness. You know, we said that, the making process comes after the following process. Because you know, Jesus said, follow me and I'll make you fishermen of men. So we began to look at these four specific areas that seal or secure our maturity into man and womanhood. We looked at number 1, marriage. We looked at motive. We looked at morality. And tonight, we're going to look at money. Praise God. Hallelujah. Now, let's see. Let me get to it here. All right. Now, the aspect that will affect our maturity into manhood and womanhood is the area of money. Now, he talks about, you know, in the book, he talks about breakthrough believers, you know, but we door unlockers. We have the keys. Praise the Lord. But they say they will not be able to rise to maturity or manhood or womanhood, overcome the chaos of the world and reveal Christ's likeness and character until the love of money is rooted out of their heart and soul. So then in Mark, the 11th chapter, Mark, the 4th chapter, 19th verse, talks about the worries of the world, the cares of the world, and the deceitfulness of riches and the desires for other things enter in and choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. So he's talking about our mature. And a lot of times, I like to say it like this, that, you know, you're going to, if you're not, you're going to be one of three. You're going to be, you know, you're going to have a need conscious, you're going to have a greed conscious, or seed conscious. And so as a believer, you know, we have to be able to really understand how God has designed us to operate and that sort of thing. And one of the things that the assignment that God gave the apostle about money cometh is, see, for years, I'm talking about in pulpits, preachers, bishops, whoever, they were going after money. And so they didn't have any integrity. They didn't have any, they didn't really have, they were just, I remember a preacher, you know, going in his trunk and pull out a bag in his trunk and, you know, just go in there and just, you know, get money out of it. So I was wondering, you know, what in the world he was doing. You know, I had just started preaching and stuff, and I saw this, and he said that's why he kept the church money in his trunk. What's the church money doing in his trunk? So, like I shared with y'all before, when I first started going back in 92 or 93, when I was going to the school of ministry, I heard Apostle say way back then, he said that if you're going to operate in ministry, especially the pastors, you have to have your own portfolio. Yes, sir. You understand what I'm saying? You can't be dipping in and out of the church's finances. You got to have your own. You got to establish your own. So, and I believe that, you know, once we get rid of a love of money. Now, you know, the Bible said that the love of money, the root of all, not money. Money is not good or evil, but the love of it. So now here in 2 Timothy 3, 1 through 5. 2 Timothy 3, 1 through 5. Let me get it. Second Timothy, I got first. Second Timothy 3, All right. So it says, know this also, that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of themselves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truth breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. It talks about from such turn away. Now, so Paul's reading that there are six type of lovers in the last, going to be six type of lovers in the last days. He said in verse 2, lovers of self. Then there's lovers of money. Then there's lovers of violence. Then there's lovers of religion. There's lovers of pleasure and lovers of knowledge. Now, those who are lovers of self have total disregard for relationships and the interests of others. Those who are lovers of money have total disregard for morality and ethics. Those who are lovers of violence have total disregard for life and peace. Those who are lovers of religion have total disregard for a fresh move of God. Those who are lovers of pleasure have total disregard for kingdom lifestyles and values. And those who are lovers of knowledge have total disregard for obedience as they choose to live in deception. Now, every believer, we must break through in the areas of giving and receiving. We're not breaking through. We're unlocking doors of giving and receiving. Now, our financial integrity must be above board. They must learn to honor God in their financial dealings with others. I mentioned this, that, you know, whether you're dealing with Christians or whether you're dealing with sinners, you have to be careful about how you deal with people as it relates to money. Now, most time in the church, if you want to have a bad relationship in the church, start borrowing church people money. You understand what I'm saying? I've had people borrow money from me, and they didn't want to pay it back, and then walking around looking at me cross-eyed. You understand what I'm saying? I mean, looking at like I did something. No, man, you just said you hadn't paid me back yet. And one guy, he borrowed some money from me. And so, you know, I loaned it to him. And, you know, he was going through something. And he didn't pay it back. And then he came to me and said this. He said, I know I hadn't paid you back yet, but I need to borrow another $150. So I said, do I look like I have stupid wrote on my forehead? I'm not finna pay you. I'm not finna give you more money, and you hadn't paid me what I've already given you. Amen. You understand what I'm saying? And so a lot of times relationships and that kind of things and stuff, people would get upset with you. Had a guy who had a construction business. He was in the church, and he came to me. He said, man, I need $500. I said, okay. I said, when you need it for? He told me when he needed it for, and I loaned it to him. And this has been years ago. And I never saw that money. Never saw it. And you know what? He wound up leaving the church. Because he really didn't have no intention on giving it back anyway. You understand? So we have to have integrity in every area when it comes down to our financial dealing with other people and that sort of thing and stuff. Y'all with me? Yes, sir. Yeah. And if we tell somebody we're going to do something, we need to do it. Now, the areas of repayment of loans must be girded with honesty. You know, as people of God, you know, you have bills, and you cannot sit around and say, well, I don't have to pay this. You have to pay. You're supposed to pay folk. You're supposed, as a child of God, do you know that one of the things that cause people not to become Christians is how they see Christians operate.
That's right.
we have to learn how to operate with integrity. The areas of spending must be girded with wisdom.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. I say the areas of spending must be girded. Now, it's coming up to Christmas time. There ain't no sense in you buying everybody, trying to buy everybody something for Christmas, and you know you don't have the money. All you're gonna do is put yourself in a hole, and you're not gonna be able to get out till next year. You understand what I'm saying? You know. Instead of telling them folks, say, look, I didn't have anything for you this year. I had anything to give. I may have gave you something last year, but I don't have anything for you this year. And most time, the people we give to, you understand, the family folk, oh, Lord Jesus, help me, Lord. Family folk be looking for you to give, do something for them, and then when you don't do it, they're upset with you.
Yes.
Yeah, praise the Lord, hallelujah. Yes, glory to God. So I learned how to stop, One of the things, people have so much, they have so much pride, so they don't want nobody to know that they don't have it. So they go and put it on the credit card. And they take you all, what credit card interest is? What, 25, 30% or more? Oh, Lord have mercy. So now, then the areas of borrowing must be controlled by kingdom priorities. Like the apostle said, there's nothing wrong with borrowing, but you ought to get a word from the Lord about it. Hallelujah. So it must be controlled. It must be controlled by kingdom priorities. Now, people do whatever they want to do, but this is myself. I'm not going to do anything that's going to endanger my seed.
Amen.
Yeah, I want you to hear what I'm saying. I'm not going out there. If I got to pay a note on something and I'm not going to be able to sow, then I'm not. And see, people think that, when you say stuff like this, well, I don't ever have nothing, No. You got to learn how to have kingdom priorities. I'm not gonna let nothing take my tithe. I'm not gonna let nothing take my seed. You with me? And so, you got to have that kind of mindset, because if you don't, most times when we just buying this and buying that and buying that, most times it's impressed folk. Now I'm finna say something. I was among the preachers. Where I thought that, I had to have a certain kind of car to look like my ministry was successful.
Yes,
I mean, I got caught up in that, you understand what I'm saying? And, preachers and stuff, they ride in their big car, they blowing, pop, pop, and this was success. You understand what I'm saying? And so then you got to pay a note and stuff that, you got to be struggling with. So, I got out of that race. I got out the rat race. Look, I'm just going to obey God and do what I need to do. It can't be no kind of competition. No way. Because if it's competition, it's going to cause you to do something that you're really not able to handle. How many times ladies have had, your husband bought you had a nice ring, nice wedding ring and that kind of thing and stuff. Soon as your friend got a bigger one and they showed it to you, and all of a sudden, you had been saying how nice your ring been for years. All of a sudden, you say now, oh, this ring, somebody say, oh, it's a pretty ring. Oh, it ain't nothing. Based on what somebody else had. Most times, in a lot of cases, I've seen people, God was blessing them tremendously, and they couldn't even see it because they was comparing what they had to somebody else. You cannot begin to start comparing yourself. The Bible says he that compares himself with others is not, they're not wise. Praise the Lord. So now, so believers must be taught to divide their income into three portions: the tithe, the bread and the seed. The tithes, you know, the tithes, 10%, ain't no sense in tripping about it. You know, people talk about, you know, well, Pastor, what I pay, the net of the gross. Praise the Lord. Well, I mean, I tell them like this, you know, it's up to you. You pay the gross, then, you know, we're not going to say I'm sending you some money. You know, I already paid on that. You understand? But if you pay the net, then you got to tie it out of that. So you're going to pay it. You got to pay it either way. One way or the other, you got to pay it. So ain't no sense of tripping about that. You understand? When it comes down to people tripping and going on about, you know, what they're going to do for God, I have a problem with that. I got a problem with it. Then number two is the bread. This amount of money we need to sustain our lifestyles. So 2 Corinthians 9 and 10 said, now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. So now, if you live a lifestyle of debt and repayment, you're going to need a large loaf of bread. All right. So, like I said, you can't get caught up. A lot of times God is trying. I've heard people say this. A lot of times God is trying to do some things in our lives. And I've heard people say things like, God is not increasing me, but God is increasing you. Many times you don't know God is increasing you because you're not keeping up with it. So, you know, my wife and I, we started keeping a ledger years ago, and we still do. And now we got the one from Apostle. But we've been doing that for years, keeping up. So every time we give, we write it down. Then when something come in outside of salary, we put it down. We didn't put down the salary now because we put down what came in over the salary. And so we did that. And so at the end of the year, we look at it. Every year that we've been doing this, we saw increase every year.
Yes, sir.
Now, watch this. Now, a lot of times because you don't keep up with it, you don't see it. See, once you see it, you're convinced.
That's right.
Oh, this worked. You understand what I'm saying? But if you sowing sporadically and, you know, you're in and out and you're doing this and that and stuff, you're not keeping up with it, then you're going to think that you're not increasing. Most times when people start increasing, the first thing they do is get another bill. So, you know, say, you know, this old sofa, you know, I've been wanting to get a new sofa, you know, for a long time because, you know, it's not as tight. All of a sudden now, you know, you got a little slack. You know, you're not struggling that much. You understand? Then all of a sudden, the sofa, you know, the sofa been all right all this time.
Yeah.
But now you got to get a new sofa set. So you make another debt. And so now the little cushion you had, all of a sudden it just shrunk again. And so you're in the same shape you were in. And most people have a spin-all mentality, unless you've been trained. Have a spin-all mentality. So when they get paid, they're not satisfied until all that money gone. And then you cannot, you know, you got so much coming in. And the money that you have going out is more than the money you got coming in. That's a disaster. So we have to make sure that, okay, we got to make sure that we paying our tithes. We got the bread basket, we got the bread loaf, and we got the seed.
Yes, sir.
Now, I believe in systematic sowing.
Yes, sir.
You with me? I believe in sowing systematically. I tell folk this all the time, but my wife reminded me, because I started off at 5, but she reminded me, she said, no, we started off with change. She said, remember, we used to put money in the envelope and wouldn't put our name on it. You know, you gonna put this in the basket. You can't put your name on that. You don't want nobody to know you're just giving change. So that was one day that Darnell and my son was going to school together, and so they were playing on the basketball team together. So I saw a posse was sitting on the end down there, and I used to, you know, come in. I just waved from where I was and stuff, you know. But this time he called me, and so I didn't have any money in my pocket. I don't think I did. But I was telling him every time that it looked like I was trying to get a hold of a seed to give him, $100 or so. Looked like by the time I saw him, it was gone. I needed to spend it on something. So you know what he told me? He said, son, what your problem is, you trying to give above your means. Boy, you talking about something that revolutionized my giving. So I started right there. That's when I started with the five. You understand what I'm saying? So, and I kept on and kept on and kept on. And look, watch this. So we got this ledger, right? Uh-huh. And the ledger is saying that the money went up.
Yes, sir.
And so God says to me, now it's time for your sowing to go up.
That's right.
See, because if I stay on that same level that I was sowing on last year, when I come back to the ledger, I'm going to have the same amount. It's going to be around the same way. You understand?
Yes, sir.
But when I went up, every time we went up, we saw increase. I'm not talking about a little increase. And so I kept the systematic giving going, kept it going. And all of a sudden, you know, God told me to give a certain amount. And I said to God, I said, Lord, I said, I don't have that amount. This is when he was telling me it's time to step up my giving.
Right.
And so I said, Lord, I don't. So he told me to give an extra 100 other than what I was giving. Mm-hmm. I said, well, Lord, I don't have but 50. So, you know, I can't give what I don't have. So Pastor Walker was sitting right next to me and he reaches me $100. He said, I don't know why I'm giving you, but you don't give it back. The Lord told me to give it to you. The Lord told me to give $100 extra.
Right, right, right.
This man sitting by me don't know nothing what the Lord has said to me.
Right, right.
Give me. I said, now, Lord, you know, this is something. This is something.
Yeah, yeah.
This is something. Praise the Lord. And so I asked the Lord a question. I said, Lord, do you think I'm going to be? I said, Lord, will I be able to continue to give on this level? And the Lord said, oh, yeah. The Lord said, you're not going to give out because you give so much. You're not going to give out. You cannot give like that and give out. Oh, my God. I'm telling you. All right. Let me help you. Let me help you with something else here. All right. I know, don't pay no attention to me, you know, because, you know, I listen to God even when it looks crazy. Mm-hmm. So don't pay no attention to me when I'm finna say. Praise God. I don't make no kind of major purchases without first consulting with Apostle.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
And see, watch this. This is I do this because this is what I want to do.
Yeah.
You understand what I'm saying? I asked him, I said, could you please, sir? Because I understand that's God is doing something, so I need some coaching.
Yeah.
I told Apostle, so Apostle, I'm not the kind of person who's gonna be saying, well, Apostle told me not to get this here, Apostle told me not to get this, and that kind of thing and stuff. I said, no, I'm asking you because I want your wisdom.
Yes. Yes.
So I don't make no kind of major purchases unless I first run it by him first.
Amen.
Praise God, hallelujah. So there's been times when I asked him, I said, what you think about this? He said, it's not time yet. Praise the Lord. You know what? It's not time. Glory to God. And so I'm going to keep on going the way I'm going.
Right, right, right.
Because first of all, I trust him.
Yes. Yes, sir.
I trust him. You understand what I'm saying? So, and listen to me, y'all. Listen to me. Like I just finished saying, I just listen to God. Everybody not going to agree with me. I just listen to God. You understand what I'm saying? Because I know that God knows some stuff that I don't know. And I know that he placed me under somebody who knows some things I don't know.
Yes,
you understand what I'm saying? So I trust his wisdom.
Yes, sir.
Praise the Lord. So my son totally lost my Escalade, totally lost it. And so before I went got another one, I went to Apostle. I said, Apostle, look, you know, I'm trying to see which one I can get, you know, because I got the premium the last time, but I just checking it with you. He said, go for it. So I got the platinum now. You understand what I'm saying? Because I can handle it now. You understand what I'm saying? And guess what? Don't nothing hinder the seed that I have to sow. I say, don't nothing hinder the seed. Now let me say this, because I got a couple of minutes here. All right. Watch this, God, I want to say something right here. All right. If you live a lifestyle of debt and repayment, we're gonna need a large bread loaf. This is where most believers fail miserably. Watch this. They buy too much too soon on credit and acquire massive debt. The buy first, pay later scheme often entices believers to own things they have no capacity to have. This forced them to desire to enjoy the luxury without paying the price. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Listen to me. Apostle said something tonight. Watch this. He said, when we know the identity of our Father, you with me?
Yes, sir.
And so we know where we're going.
Yes, sir.
And guess what? I am patiently taking the ride.
Yes, sir.
Because I'm gonna get there.
Yes, sir.
You understand what I'm saying? So I'm not trying to rush anything. I'm not trying to impress anybody. But the thing about it is, I need some wisdom from my apostle. Y'all got to see it. So, I know some folk, even, you know, watching by internet stuff, say, man, look, I'm going to do my own thing. I don't need. Well, let's do what you do. You understand what I'm saying? But that's what the Lord told me to do.
Yeah, right.
You understand what I'm saying? And the thing about it is, a lot of times people feel like that because they're full of ego. They feel like, you know, can't nobody tell me. Ain't nobody told me what to do. I asked.
Right.
See, honor and submission has to be 100%. The person who submitted, it has to be 100% of their will.
Yes, sir.
It's not anything that, you know, somebody tell me that I got to do. Somebody for this is something that God said. This is the safe way for you.
Yeah.
For me to bring you into where I'm bringing you to. This is the safe way. I want you to take this route.
Yes, sir.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Ooh, Jesus. Hallelujah. Let me see. I'm going to stop right there. Wow. Wow. Is this it? Praise the Lord. All right.